नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनते नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द नाइन्थ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवत गीता। द चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड एज राजगुह्य योगा और द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज। सो आई विल डू अ क्विक रीकैप ऑफ व्हाट वी हैव सीन टिल नाउ। इन द फर्स्ट सिक्स चैप्टर्स कृष्णा स्पीक्स अबाउट गुणीभूत भक्ति और प्रैक्टिसेस लाइक कर्म योगा, ज्ञान योगा एंड अष्टांग योगा, इन विच भक्ति इज द सेकेंडरी एलिमेंट and karma jnana yoga is the primary element, and being a secondary element it empowers that process to achieve till sayujya mukti or impersonal liberation. So through these practices where bhakti is secondary, one can achieve till liberation or impersonal liberation. Then in the seventh and eighth chapters Krishna speaks about pradhani bhuta bhakti or practices where bhakti is predominant, but there are secondary elements of karma jnana yoga. So there is karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti. In the eighth chapter he predominantly talks about yoga mishra bhakti, and then in the seventh chapter he talks about karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti. So because of the predominance of bhakti in these practices, one can attain salokya mukti through karma mishra bhakti and shantarati through jnana mishra bhakti and yoga mishra bhakti, but not prema. And then in the ninth chapter, so the first six chapters are guhya, confidential knowledge, because this knowledge involves the understanding of the difference between body and soul, and also it talks about process which at least contains bhakti as a secondary process. Then then the seventh and eighth chapters is guhya tara, more confidential, because it talks about pradhani bhuta bhakti. And then the ninth chapter is called as guhya tama, because it talks about the most confidential knowledge of pure devotional service, which establishes one's relationship with Krishna in one of the five primary rasas. So Krishna starts this chapter by telling that idam tute guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yadgyatva mokshase ashubhat. So I am going to tell you about this most confidential knowledge, O Arjuna, because you are free of envy. Okay? And understanding this, you can realize me and you can be freed from suffering. And what is the nature of this knowledge of Shuddha Bhakti? Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idamuttamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Darivam, Susukam, Kartum Avyayam. So he says that Rajavidya, this is the highest type of bhakti. Rajaguhyam, the most secret of all the types of bhakti like karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti, etc. Pavitram idam uttamam, that is the most purifying of all the other practices. And pratyakshavagamam, the results of bhakti can be directly experienced by the practitioner. Bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti ranyatra chesatrika eka kala. Right? And then we saw that dharmyam, practice of bhakti is certainly dharma, even though it may be observed that the practitioners of bhakti may not be strictly following the rules and regulations of varna and ashrama. But one should not say, oh, practitioners of bhakti are adharmic because they are not following the principles of dharma shastra. So no, one should not say that, because those qualified for bhakti, they practice the shastras in the form of bhakti shastras, and they don't have to practice the dharma shastras. So then susukam kartum, practice of bhakti is very pleasurable to practice because it involves engagement of the senses. Disengagement of the senses, especially in the conditioned state, is very, very difficult. Bhakti allows engagement of senses. And avyayam, bhakti is eternal. Even at the stage of perfection, bhakti is the only practice which is continued, because the elements of bhakti manifest in the form of anubhavas, an expression of love. So they are not considered to be merely, sadhana. But ashraddhadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa apraapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. But one who does not have faith in this process of bhakti, either as a limb or as an exclusive process, then they cannot achieve liberation. They will have to remain in this material world. And understanding this bhakti starts with understanding the Aishwarya Jnana of the Supreme Lord, understanding how the Lord creates, maintains and destroys this material universe while being detached from it. So understanding the Aishwarya of the Supreme Lord, especially the Aishwarya in relationship with this material world, how he regulates this material world. Understanding devotion starts with understanding this very critical aspect. So Krishna says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina mastani sarva bhutani nachaham tesho avastitah. O Arjuna, I pervade through this whole universe in a form which is invisible to the material senses, in the form of Paramatma. Okay. And all living entities are situated in me, which means they are dependent on me, but I am not dependent on them because I am totally detached. Nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yogam aishwaram bhutabrin nachabhutasto mamatma bhutabhavanah. O Krishna, O Arjuna, and actually all living beings are not in me because I am totally detached from them. See my inconceivable power. Even though I maintain them, bhutabrit, bhutabhavana, I maintain and protect them, but I am totally detached from them. This is very inconceivable, because in this material world, any conscious living entity, when he is involved in protecting and maintaining some person, it happens only due to some kind of attachment. Without any attachment, no conscious living entity in this world protects or maintains anyone or any object or any place, anything. So therefore, this is the inconceivable nature of mind. And then he says, I will give you an example to illustrate this. Yatakashastito nityam vayur sarvatra go mahan tata sarvani bhutani mattani ti upadharaya. Just like the ether or the sky maintains the air and allows, gives the space for the air to move, but still the ether is detached from the air and the air is detached from ether. In the same way, even though I maintain all living entities, I am detached from them. So now someone may ask, oh, just you have given an example to illustrate your detachment, then why should it be inconceivable? He says, oh yes, it is inconceivable because ether and air both are inanimate objects. By nature, they don't have attachment to anything. But amongst animate conscious living entities, can you show of one living entity who is maintaining and protecting someone but still detached? That happens only with me. Therefore, even though I have given a material example to illustrate my detachment, still it is inconceivable, because the example is that of an inanimate object maintaining something and still being detached. But amongst animate people, no one maintains and protects anyone while being completely detached. Okay. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritim yanti mamikam కల్పక్షయే పునస్తాని కల్పాదౌ విసృజామ్యహం. అండ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ ఐఎమ్ ఐ ద సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ దర్ మెయింటెనెన్స్, బట్ ఐ ఎమ్ ఆల్సో ద సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ దర్ క్రియేషన్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్ త్రూ ద ఏజెన్సీ ఆఫ్ ప్రకృతి. ప్రకృతిం స్వాం అవష్టభ్య విసృజామి పునఃపున భూతగ్రామమిమం కృత్స్నం అవశం ప్రకృతేర్వశాత్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ వే, బీయింగ్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఇన్ ప్రకృతి, ఇన్ మై ప్రకృతి, ఐ క్రియేట్ దమ్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్. అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వే ఐ క్రియేట్ దిస్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ బాడీస్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్. నచమాం తాని కర్మాణి నిబద్ధంతి ధనంజయ ఉదాసీనవదాసీనం అసక్తం తేషు కర్మసు. ఇన్ఫ్యాక్ట్ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్, వెన్ దే పర్ఫార్మ్ ఈవన్ స్మాల్ యాక్టివిటీస్, దే గెట్ బౌండ్ బై దోస్ యాక్టివిటీస్. బట్ ఈవన్ దో ఐ క్రియేట్, మెయింటైన్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ యూనివర్సెస్, ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ బౌండ్ బై దోస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ బికాస్ ఐ ఎమ్ కంప్లీట్లీ ఇన్డిఫరెంట్ అండ్ డిటాచ్ ఫ్రమ్ దీస్ యాక్టివిటీస్. మయా అధ్యక్షేణ ప్రకృతి సూయతే స చరాచరం హేతునానేన కౌంతేయ జగద్ విపరివర్తతే. సో ఈ సేస్ మయా అధ్యక్షేణ, అండ్ ఇన్ఫ్యాక్ట్ అండర్ మై డైరెక్షన్ ప్రకృతి గివ్స్ రైజ్ టు ది మూవింగ్ అండ్ నాన్ మూవింగ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. సో విచ్ మీన్స్ ద హోల్ క్రియేషన్ హ్యాపన్స్ త్రూ మై సూపర్విషన్. మయా అధ్యక్షేణ ప్రకృతి సూయతే సచరాచరం, అండ్ బై దిస్ కాస్ ద యూనివర్సెస్ అపియర్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్. So someone may say, if it is so clear that you are the creator, maintainer and destroyer, do everyone accept it? Looks like many people consider you to be just an ordinary person because you seem to have a ordinary human-like form. So Krishna says, avajananti mam mooda manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Actually, foolish people deride me. When I appear in a human-like form, they think I am an ordinary human being. But the reality is that mama parambhava majananto, they do not know my superior position of Bhuta Maheshwaram, the Lord of all beings. And what happens if one does not accept the form of the Lord to be transcendental, if one thinks that the Lord's body is just made of matter and he is just an ordinary person? Then he says, Mogasha, Moga Karmano, Moga Jnana Vichetasa, Rakshasim, Asurim Chaiva, Prakritim, Mohinim Shrita. If such a person happens to be a Karma Yogi, his endeavors to attain perfection of Karma Yoga is baffled. If such a person happens to be a Jnana Yogi, his endeavors to attain perfection of Jnana Yoga is baffled. He does not get liberation. If such a person is an Ashtanga Yogi aspiring for some mystic siddhis, he cannot get it because of his rejection of the personal form of the Lord. So, on the other hand, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakatim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. On the other hand, there are Mahatmas, fortunate souls, souls who have been fortunate to come in touch with the devotees and receive the seed of bhakti. So such fortunate souls, mam daivim prakritim ashrita, they take shelter of the divine nature through which they worship me. Mam daivim prakriti, mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso. They worship my human form with no distractions. Ananya manaso means where the anya bilashita shunyam, where the mind is anjnana karmadi anavritam. The mind is not attached to any other goal of liberation, etc. And the mind is also not attached to performing any other practices like karma, jnana, yoga, etc. They worship me with no deviation, you know, exclusively practicing the devotional service. Gyatva bhutadim avyayam, understanding that my human body is the source of, even though I appear like an ordinary human being, this body is the source of all other living entities, and avyayam, vyayam means to deteriorate, matter deteriorates. They understand that my body is avyayam, which means it does not deteriorate, it is spiritual. So, what is the nature of this bhajan? So, when they understand me, what is the nature of this ananya bhajan? How does one practice ananya bhajan, undeviated worship of Krishna? Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrata namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. He says that satatam mam upasate. They worship me at all times. Bhaktya, with devotion. Kirtayanto, how do they worship? In the form of singing about me. Dridavrataha, they follow strict vows. Nitya yukta, they always aspire to be my associate. Yatantaha, and for that purpose they understand to practice all this ananya bhajan, it is impossible without the association of devotees. So they wander about endeavoring to find out such association. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya, and they offer me respects as well as all the other devotional acts. Okay. But on the other hand, there are others who may not directly worship Krishna, but they resort to indirect ways of worshipping Krishna. And these indirect forms of worship, ways of worship, is called as Jnana Yajna. And there are three types of Jnana Yajna. Krishna says, Jnana Yajna Chapyanye Janto Mam Upasate Ekatvena Pratakvena Bahuda Vishvato Mukam. You know, these three types of worship. One is called as Ahangropasana, Pratikopasana, and Vishwarupa Upasana. Ahangropasana is a kind of worship where, for the purpose of worship, one identifies with the deity whom one worships, and then they worship the deity like that. And then they worship oneself. This is not Mayavad, but this is a kind of worship, where one identifies with the deity one worships. And then there is Pratikopasana, where one worships the forms of the demigods, considering them to be the limbs of the form of the Supreme Lord. This is also a very indirect form of worship. The third is Vishwarupa Upasana, worshipping the universal form of the Lord. Okay, these are indirect forms of worshipping Krishna, not very much recommended for those who have, definitely not recommended for those who have pure faith, but for those who have very, very weak faith, a very weak devotion, for them such practices are recommended. Weak, not just weak, but mixed devotion. Then he talks about Vishwarupa Upasana. How do you perform this Bahuda Vishvatomukam? How do you worship various ways of worshipping the universal form? He says, Aham Kratur Aham Yajya Swadaham Aham Aushadam Mantroham Aham Evajyam Aham Agnir Aham Hutam Pitaham Asya Jagato Mata Data Pitamaha Vedyam Pavitramomkara Riksama Yajurevacha Gatir Bhatta Praduk Prabhusakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidhanam Bijam Abhyayam Tapamyaham Aham Varsham Nigranami Utsrajamita Amrutam Jaiva Mrityascha Sadasachaham Arjuna. So Krishna says that I am the sacrifices, I am the offering given to the Pitrus, I am the herbs, I am the mantra, I am the ghee. Practically whatever you see in this world, I am that, meaning that is a part of my body. So one remembers like that, one meditates like that, and in this way, they perform the Vishwarupa Upasana. So this is all, on one hand, there is direct forms of worship, worshipping Krishna. There is this indirect form of worshipping Krishna. And then there is complete performing. Even indirect worship leads to at least Sayujya Mukti, impersonal liberation, some transcendental benefit. But there is a way of completely resorting to Karmakanda. So Karmakanda involves worshipping the demigods and all that. That gives temporary result. That is what Krishna says. త్రైవిద్యామాం సోమపా పూతపాపా యజ్ఞైరిష్ట్వా స్వర్గతిం ప్రార్థయంతే తే పుణ్యమాసాద్య సురేంద్రలోకం అశ్నంతి దివ్యాన్ దివి దేవ భోగాన్. సో ఇట్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్డ్ దట్ త్రైవిద్య దోసు ఫాలో ది కర్మకాండ్య సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద వేదాస్ దే పర్ఫార్మ్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్ త్రూ విచ్ దే వర్షిప్ ది డెమి గాడ్స్ దే డ్రింక్ సోమా జ్యూస్ దే బికమ్ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ అండ్ దే డిజైర్ టు గో టు స్వర్గ అండ్ ఎంజాయ్ దర్ అండ్ బై డూయింగ్ దీస్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ దే గెట్ సమ్ మెటీరియల్ పుణ్య బై దట్ మెటీరియల్ పుణ్య దే మే అటైన్ ఇంద్రలోక ఎంజాయ్ దేర్ టిల్ దేర్ పుణ్య అలౌస్ దెన్ తీర్థం భుక్త్వా స్వర్గలోకం విశాలం క్షీణే పుణ్యే మర్త్యలోకం విశంతి ఏవం త్రయీధర్మం అనుప్రపన్నా గతాగతం కామ కామాలభంతే. తీర్థం భుక్త్వా స్వర్గలోకం విశాలం క్షీణే పుణ్యే మర్త్యలోకం విశంతి. ఆఫ్టర్ ఎంజాయింగ్ ఇన్ ది స్వర్గలోక ఫర్ అ లాంగ్ టైమ్ వెన్ దర్ పుణ్య గెట్స్ ఓవర్ తే మర్త్యలోకం విశంతి దే రిటర్న్ బ్యాక్ టు దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ నాట్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ అఫ్ కోర్స్ ది మర్త్యలోక ది గెట్ అ హ్యూమన్ బర్త్ వేర్ దే కెన్ వేర్ దే ఆర్ ఫోర్స్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ అగైన్ సమ్ కర్మ టు గెయిన్ మోర్ పుణ్య. ఏవం త్రయీధర్మం అనుప్రపన్న ఇన్ దిస్ వే అక్సెప్టింగ్ దిస్ కర్మకాండ ప్రాసెస్ గత ఆగతం కామ కామా లభంతే. డిజైరింగ్ టెంపరీ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ దే గో టు స్వర్గ కమ్ బ్యాక్ గో టు స్వర్గ కమ్ బ్యాక్ గో టు స్వర్గ కమ్ బ్యాక్ అండ్ దెన్ దే కీప్ కీప్ ఆన్ డూయింగ్ దిస్ సైకిల్. ఓకే సో బట్ నెవర్ ద లెస్ దే పర్ఫార్మ్ దిస్ కర్మ టు గెట్ ది కర్మ విచ్ దే క్యాన్ యూస్ యాజ్ వాట్ డూ సే దే క్యాన్ యూస్ దిస్ యాజ్ అ కరెన్సీ టు ఎంజాయ్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ ఫార్ దర్ ఫార్ ఎస్కేపింగ్ సఫరింగ్ అండ్ ఎంజాయింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్. ఓకే నౌ బట్ ద డివోటీస్ గివ్ అప్ కర్మ రైట్ ద డివోటీస్ డు నాట్ పర్ఫార్మ్ దీస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ పయస్ వర్ణాశ్రమ యాక్టివిటీస్ రైట్ సో దెన్ హౌ వుడ్ దే గెట్ సమ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ సమ్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్. కృష్ణ సేస్ అనన్యా చింతయంతో మాం ఏ జనా పర్యుపాసతే తేషాం నిత్యాభియుక్తానాం యోగక్షేమం వహామి. హి సేస్ ఓ ఐ పర్సనలీ క్యారీ ది బర్డన్ ఆఫ్ ద సప్లై అండ్ మెయింటెనెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ పీపుల్ పరియుపాసతే. పరియుపాసతే మీన్స్ దే వర్షిప్ ఓన్లీ మీ. సో తేషాం యోగక్షేమం వహామ్యహం ఐ క్యారీ ద బర్డన్ ఆఫ్ దేర్ సప్లై అండ్ మెయింటెనెన్స్ ఐ ప్రొవైడ్ వాట్ దే ల్యాక్ అండ్ ఐ ప్రొటెక్ట్ వాట్ దే హ్యావ్ బికాస్ దీస్ పీపుల్ దే డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ దే ఓన్లీ డిజైర్ కాన్స్టెంట్ అసోసియేషన్ విత్ మీ. తేషాం నిత్య అభియుక్తానాం అనన్యాస్ చింతయంతో మా అండ్ హూ దోస్ హూ థింక్ ఓన్లీ ఆఫ్ మీ అండ్ దే డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ లైఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ మై రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ ఐ టేక్ పర్సనల్ రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ టు ప్రొవైడ్ వాట్ దే హ్యావ్ ప్రొవైడ్ వాట్ దే ల్యాక్ అండ్ ప్రొటెక్ట్ వాట్ దే హ్యావ్ దెన్ బట్ ఆన్ ది అదర్ హ్యాండ్ ఏపి అన్యదేవతా భక్త యజంతే శ్రద్ధయాన్విత తేపి మామేవ కౌంతేయ యజంతే అవిధి పూర్వకం. బట్ ది అదర్ పీపుల్ హూ త్రూ దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ కర్మకాండ వర్షిప్ ఆల్ దీస్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ దేవతాస్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ దే ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ వన్ సెన్స్ దే ఆర్ వర్షిపింగ్ మీ ఓన్లీ బికాస్ ప్రాక్టికలీ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ మై విభూతి ఓన్లీ. సో వెన్ దే వర్షిప్ దీస్ దేవతాస్ దే ఆర్ వర్షిపింగ్ మీ ఓన్లీ బట్ అవిధి పూర్వకం ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ అ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిపింగ్ మీ. ఓకే అహం హి ద రియాలిటీ ఇస్ దట్ అహం హి సర్వయజ్ఞానాం భోక్తా చ ప్రభురేవ చ నతు మామ అభిజానంతి తత్వేనాతశ్చ వంతితే. అహం హి సర్వయజ్ఞానాం భోక్తా చ ప్రభురేవ చ ఐ ఎమ్ ద ఎంజాయర్ అండ్ మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద సాక్రిఫైసెస్ బట్ దోస్ హు డు నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ and keep worshipping individual devatas, they will definitely fall down. यान्ति देवव्रता देवान् पितरं यान्ति पितृव्रताः भूतानि यान्ति भूतेज्या यान्ति मद्याजिनोऽपि माम्। दोस हू वर्शिप द देवताज गो टू देयर अबोड्स, दोस हू वर्शिप द पितृज गो टू देयर अबोड्स, एंड दोस हू वर्शिप मी दे कम बैक टू मी। सो देयरफॉर दे अटेन इटर्नल रिजल्ट बिकॉज माई अबोड इज इटर्नल, एंड वर्शिपर्स ऑफ देवता गेट टेम्पररी रिजल्ट बिकॉज द देवताज देमसेल्व्स आर टेम्पररी। How can the devatas, who themselves are temporary and whose abodes are also temporary, give any permanent benefit to their own worshippers? That is not possible. Okay, like that. And moreover, worshipping these demigods is very difficult. Worshipping and performing these activities of karma and karmakanda is very difficult. You need very pure items, sometimes very expensive items, in large quantities and all that. But pleasing Krishna is so easy. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmana. As long as one offers just a simple leaf, flower, fruit or water with devotion, through the process of pure devotional service, I accept it. So the practice of bhakti is very easy. And then this is pure devotional service. And he also talks about jnana karma mishra pradani bhuta bhakti. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. So here, whatever one may perform, either according to the Dharma Shastras or the generic activities like bathing, eating, etc., if one offers that fruit to Krishna, so he says that tat kurushva madarpanam. So here Srila Vishwanatha Thakura says, Arjuna asks, what is my qualification? What should I do? Should I do Shuddha Bhakti or what should I do? So he says, at this stage, O Arjuna, you are not qualified to practice pure devotional service. So you practice this Karma Jnana Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, like that. So, like that. Then he says, Shubha Shubha Falai Revam Mokshase Karma Bandhanehi Sanyasa Yoga Yukta Atma Vimukto Mamu Paishasi. When you practice this particular process, by this you will become free from the bondage of karma. And in this way, by renouncing the fruits of your activities, you will attain me and you will serve me. Okay. So then, someone may say that, look, you always liberate your devotees, but you never liberate the non-devotees. In this way, it looks like you are showing some prejudice of arising from attraction and repulsion. Krishna says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu namedveshyosti na priyah. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. O Arjuna, I am equal to all beings. I do not hate anyone or I do not love anyone. But to the extent a person worships me with devotion, to that extent I am attached to them in a similar way. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. So the Lord says, no, I am not prejudiced. I am equal to all. I neither hate anyone nor do I favor anyone. But the devotees who worship me with devotion, they exist in me and I exist in them. Okay. And he says that there is nothing special in this statement, because since the whole universe exists within the Lord and the Lord exists everywhere in this universe. Okay. So therefore, this should not be taken to be the meaning of this statement. Mayite teshu chapyaham cannot be that. So what does this mean? So mayite teshu chapyaham means As those who worship me with devotion are attached to me, so I am attached to them. So this is ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyahum. So I am still equal. I am just being reciprocal. There is no prejudice. Because they come towards me, I go towards them. Because they want to get attached to me, I get attached to them. I am just reciprocating. There is no prejudice. How there is no prejudice? Because today you hate me, tomorrow you love me and become my devotee, I will get attached to you also. So there is no prejudice. So here in this particular verse, Śrīla Vaiṣṇava Jagadagurū beautifully describes, the Lord should not be compared to a kalpa vriksha, even though sometimes we say the Lord is a desire fulfilling tree. So Śrīla Vaiṣṇava Jagadagurū says that it is only partially correct. This is not correct actually. The Lord cannot just be compared to a kalpa vriksha. Why? Those who take shelter of the kalpa vriksha, they are just attached to the fruit of that is given by kalpa vriksha. They don't have any specific attraction to the kalpa vriksha itself. It's not that, oh, I don't want anything from you. I just want to be your friend. No one wants just a relationship with kalpa vriksha with absolutely no expectation of any fruit from it. But Krishna is not like that. So, but Krishna, the devotees who worship Krishna, they worship him, that is the pure devotees, they worship him without the need for anything else from Krishna. They are attached only to Krishna. It's not that they want something else from Krishna, they want only Krishna. But no one wants Kalpa Vriksha, especially the Kalpa Vriksha, if they are not going to ask anything from the Kalpa Vriksha, there is no utility of Kalpa Vriksha. They are not just like that attached to Kalpa Vriksha. Second is, nor is the Kalpa Vriksha attached to those who take shelter of it. The Kalpa Vriksha will not wait for you. Oh, come, come, come. Oh, you were taking shelter of me till yesterday. Today you have not come. No, the Kalpa Vriksha is detached. But Krishna is not like that. Today only in the afternoon we were reading. When the disciple of Gopakumar, this is the last chapter of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when the disciple of Gopakumar comes to Vrindavan and Krishna meets him for the first time, Krishna says, I have been watching this path for such a long time waiting for you, that you, Jana Sharma, you will come one day, every day. I used to look at this path and wait for you. Okay. This is ye yatamam prapadyante tam stateva bhajami. So the kalpa vriksha does not become attached to one who takes shelter of kalpa vriksha, but Krishna does get attached. And nor does, if one who takes shelter of kalpa vriksha, if he has some enemies, kalpa vriksha will not try to protect him from those enemies. It will not fight with the enemies, but Krishna will fight. If someone hates the devotees, Krishna will fight with them, kill them. Like that. So therefore, Krishna should not be compared just to a kalpa vriksha. He is very attached to his devotees. And some other people say that there is another explanation to this verse. Some people say, yes, I am equal to all, but I still favor my devotee. But this should not be criticized as a prejudice because it is very natural to have affection for one's own people. Okay, this is an ornament of Krishna, not a fault. Okay, like that. And then Krishna says, what is the extent of my attachment to my devotee? Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. So, we had an elaborate discussion on this yesterday, sorry, last week, where Krishna says, even if Sudhuracharo, the most sinful person, that Sudhuracharo we saw is born out of his the inertia of his past false ego, his conditioning. But Mam Bhajate, he worships me. Ananya Bhak, with no other desire other than the desire to please me. Samyak Vyavasito Hi Saha. And he has fixed himself completely in me. Krishna says, Sadureva Samantavya. I consider that person to be my devotee. Even though there may be some actions which he may perform, being impelled by his past conditioning, but still, according to his faith, he wants to worship me alone. He has no other desire other than the desire to please me. And he has completely fixed his mind on me. So therefore, I consider him to be a devotee. Okay. So, and Srila Vishwanatha Chakrakur says, what is the definition of Sudurachara? So he says, it means the person is addicted to violence, thievery and adultery. But still, he worships me, worships no one except me, does not follow any other process like karma, jnana, yoga, etc. And he has no other desire than my desire. Such a person should be I accept as a sadhu. So, but the Purvapaksha, he says, oh, wait, but you see his conduct, behavior, so Durachari is addicted to violence, thievery, adultery. How can you say that he is a devotee? Krishna says, he is to be respected as a devotee because of his devotee qualities. Now, what are his devotee qualities? His devotee qualities are, Mam Bhajate, he worships me. Ananya Bhak, he has no other desire than the desire to please me. And Samyak Vyavasitaha, his mind is completely fixed in me. That is devotee quality. It is a command. So, then, the Purva Paksha says, okay, I understand your point. So, whenever he acts in devotion, he is your devotee. Whenever he commits durachar, then he is a non-devotee. So, which means he is a partial devotee, partial non-devotee. Whenever he engages in Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc., he is a devotee. And whenever he is engaging in Sudurachar, he is a non-devotee. Right? Krishna says, no. He should be considered a devotee in all his parts. You should not see his bad qualities at all. Why? Because he is samyagvyavasitaha. His conviction is complete. So, conviction means his desire to worship is complete. Now, his ability to worship, his ability to continuously worship may be compromised due to his swabhava. But I see his desire. I see that he has a desire to continuously worship me. I see that. So therefore, I consider him my devotee. Okay, someone is telling that my sound is low. Is my volume low or are you able to hear my voice clearly? Was it low in between? Was it low? Okay. It was clear. So maybe Sachivaran Prabhu, maybe something wrong with your earphones. Maybe you can check. Okay. So what is the meaning of Samyak Vyavasitaha? He says, let me go to hell for my sinful actions, which I am really struggling. It's very hard to give up. But I will not give up dedicated worship of Krishna. This is his this thing. Like that. Okay. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. Before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on whatever we discussed last week or whatever we have recapped today, we will take before we start today's discussion. Anything anyone would like to share as add, you can please go ahead. Yes, Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, one question I had when you were discussing the karma kandis, and you said that they drink soma ras and you said that they have purifying practices, right?
They have what method?
Purifying. Like there's some purification that takes place among the Karmakandis. You mentioned purifying activities or purification in connection with the Karmakandis. Do you
Really,
remember that?
I am not able to recollect.
Yeah, because I was very surprised that, because I was wondering what, how, I was wondering how, what activities are purifying among the Karmakandis. I thought that was strange,
No, I
because I
don't
thought.
recall saying that. Maybe if possible, if you can rehear that part and then get back to me,
Yeah.
because I am not able to recollect saying speaking like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. I'll try and pinpoint the in the recording the minute.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, and speaking about these inferior practices, you said that they are not prescribed, right? So,
I
but
mean,
those,
which inferior practices you're talking about, Madhuri?
well, there were a variety of practices that were not, pure
The
bhakti.
indirect ones, the
Yeah,
indirect ones.
indirect. Yeah. Yeah, there are a
Okay, so
variety of in.
the three types that we discussed: Ahangropasana, Pratikopasana, Vishwarupa Upasana. Those three types, where,
I
worshipping the
guess so.
universal form, those ones.
I guess so. So my point
Yeah.
is that if they are not prescribed, right?
No, let me clarify that. Let me clarify when I say they are not prescribed. They are actually prescribed in the Vedic scriptures, but not for practicing pure devotees.
Oh,
For those who do
okay.
not have qualification for pure devotional service, those who have severely anemic devotion and mixed devotion, for them it is recommended, not for practicing pure devotees.
Okay, great. Just one last thing. I was just curious about the fact that there are those who identify with the deity, yet they are not considered Mayavad. So I'm wondering what's the distinction between them and Mayavad?
Well, I don't exactly know the details of this Ahangropasana, but it is like it is for some kind of a utilitarian purpose. They don't actually think that in all ways they are like non-different from the deity, but for the purpose of worship, they identify with the deity. I don't know what exactly does it mean, and how it makes sense. I do not know. I don't know the details. It's not in detail explained either in the Bhagavatam commentary or the Bhagavad Gita commentary. So, but whatever little detail is mentioned, only this much I could glean. But beyond this, I don't exactly know how this Ahangropasana is exactly practiced. I cannot tell.
Okay, that's okay, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Kesha Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams. Prabhuji, this ninth chapter starts with, like Krishna is telling, I'm going to explain the most confidential knowledge here, no, Prabhuji, like confidential, more confidential, most confidential. Guni Buddha, Pradhani Buddha, and Shuddha Bhakti. So definitely, Arjuna is elevated to that state that Krishna is going to open up the most confidential knowledge to him, Prabhuji. But while explaining Yat Karoshi Yat Dashnasi, we were discussing that Krishna is telling, as of now, you're not eligible for pure bhakti, so you do this. Why, Prabhuji, like, why is that? It is like.
Well, he is going to build it up, and towards the end of ninth chapter, Arjuna will reach the qualification for pure devotional service when he reaches the Manmanabhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. At that stage, Arjuna will reach the qualification for pure devotional service. Before
So
that,
till
he is qualified for Karma Jnana Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti.
what is that like? Maybe you will discuss that when we come to that. So what is it suddenly happens, Prabhuji, that is getting qualified for pure
Suddenly,
devotion?
no association of Krishna.
Krishna. Because it's almost middle of Bhagavad Gita, ninth chapter is middle of Bhagavad Gita, no, Prabhuji. We come to the middle of this. So in the
No,
beginning
end
and
of ninth chapter is the middle of Bhagavad Gita.
okay, because anyways, Arjuna is not going to participate in the war just because like he's going to give the results and he's going to participate. It's not like that. He's going to participate only just because Krishna wants him to do. So
That is
his quality.
ultimately. That is ultimately. But in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, he has other desires also.
Oh, we should assume
By
like
the
that.
influence of
Anyways.
Yoga Maya.
Prabhuji, that's you are like Arjuna is already a perfect devotee for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay, there are some questions in chat box. We will take that. Okay. Can it be said the pure devotees are detached even living with and maintaining the family, like the Lord is detached towards the material world? No, they are not that kind of detached. Pure devotees take care of their family because they see their family members as servants of Krishna. How can a devotee be detached from other servants of Krishna? They may be detached from they may try to detach themselves having affection on the bodily platform gradually, but they see if their family members are already devotees, they see them as servants of Krishna, and there is attachment. If they are not yet devotees, then they see them as potential servants of Krishna, whom Krishna has entrusted upon that devotee so that if he nicely takes care of them, they can potentially become devotees in future. So devotees are not that kind of detached like Krishna is detached. Like that. So, okay, next question. It is as if the Lord makes two columns, devotees and non-devotees, and in that way he is equal. Yeah, you can see something like that. Yes. Okay, next question. Krishna told Arjuna to perform Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti because he has not reached that level. Is it applicable to a sadhaka also, or when we take up to devotional service, we are eligible to practice pure devotional service and not no need to find out our level? Very simple. Follow what your guru says, or follow what Srila Prabhupada says. Whatever practice Prabhupada has given, we follow. That's all. Now, if we are mixed devotees, whatever prescription Prabhupada is giving, it will not be agreeable to us. We will say, "Arey, aise kaise? How is it possible? Huh? How can you say I don't have to follow the Dharma Shastras?" No, 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 no. One cannot give up Dharma Shastras. Arey, Prabhupada is saying no need. The Acharyas is saying no need. No, 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 no. It's not like that. I cannot give up. So then, yes. But if you are feeling fine with the prescriptions of our Acharyas and Parampara, and you feel quite comfortable, yes, fine, perfect, then then we have qualification for practicing pure devotional service. Because if we don't have that qualification, then we will have issues with the prescriptions themselves. So therefore, like that. Like in the case of Bharat Maharaj, of course, Bharat Maharaj's detachment was, only in relationship to that which was not favorable for Krishna consciousness, and that to perfected devotees, perfected devotees. That was because of he had already established a direct relationship with Krishna. As sadhakas, Bharat Maharaj was not a sadhaka. Bharat Maharaj was a Siddha. Okay. He was a Siddha, perfected devotee. So he had already established a relationship with Krishna. But sadhakas are not like that. Okay. Anything else before we move forward to today's discussion? Okay. There is one more question in the chat box. While devotee association is prescribed as lifeline of bhakti, please clarify what is the mood of Kunti Maharani in her prayer. Sneha Pasham idam imam chindi. To cut off her ties with the Pandavas, although they are pure devotees. Well, that was an expression of her prema. It is almost like a kind of a sanchari bhava, a transient emotion, where she thinks, what is this? Instead of thinking about Krishna, I am thinking about about my children and about my paternal relatives, like that. So cut these ties. But then she says, in the very next verse, Toyi me ananya vishaya matir madhupate asakrit. Ratim udvahata dadda gange vogam udanvati. He says that remove everything that is unfavorable so that my mind can run towards your lotus feet. Okay. So as in a mood of natural humility, Kunti Maharani was seeing her relationship with her relatives to be material out of natural humility. But it was not the case. In fact, Kunti Maharani was very much attached to her sons because of their relationship with Krishna, because they were Krishna's cousins. This is Hanumanji himself tells Narada Muni in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He tells about Kunti Maharani that this Kunti, she has attachment to her sons only because they are attached, only because they are the cousins of Krishna. Like that. Okay. Ramacharya Prabhu.
Prabhu, Dandavat.
Dandavat.
So in 14th verse, Krishna is saying, Yatantas I have a few questions about that specific word, Dridvartaha. So there is no doubt that we have formed faith in Supreme Lord, and we are trying our best as much as we can to align our life with the limbs of the bhakti. That for sure is our priority. But still, many times it appears that we are failing. Sometimes health issues, sometimes that issue, sometimes so many issues. And although our desire is to get up in the morning, do things in a way we want, but we are lagging. So, what exactly is this Dridvartaha is telling here? Little bit explanation. I understand the literal meaning of this word, Dridvartaha, but what is the real application?
Let us
In the
go
life
and
of a
see what
shatra.
let us see what the acharyas say, not the literal meaning, but how exactly they are talking about Dridavrata. Okay. He says they have strict rules for themselves, thinking I must do this number of rounds of chanting, this many obeisances, this many services, like that. So now it is mentioned they have strict rules. Okay. It does not mean they are always able to accomplish those strict rules. So that inability to accomplish that he is not talking about that. But they have a desire to follow strictly. That is the meaning of Dridavrata. That is why otherwise the ability to follow will be compromised till the time one reaches the stage of Nishta. Till they are at the Anishtita Bhajana Kriya level, there will always be some obstacle in their ability to practice it, ability to accomplish those strict rules very firmly. But nevertheless, they have a desire to follow these rules very strictly. But till they reach Nishta, they will not have the ability to practice, even though they may have the desire to practice.
So that means if we are not able to follow, or we don't have ability, that's also the indication that we have not achieved the Nishta stage. Just some sort of understanding.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Then it means we have not reached the stage of Nishta.
Thank you, Prabhu. Dandavat.
Right. Anything else before we move forward? Okay. Let us continue then. So Krishna has mentioned, apichet su duracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hissaha. Okay, he should be considered as a devotee. Then, in continuation of this verse, Krishna says, okay, he says, Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Shipram bhavati dharmatma. Very quickly he becomes a righteous person. You don't worry. Are, will he remain a Suduracharī always? Krishna says, no. I will ensure that very quickly he will become a dharmatma, righteous person. His behavior will be rectified. Okay. Shashvat shantim nigacchati. Okay. Shashvat means completely. Shantim means purified. Nigacchati, he attains complete, he becomes completely devoid of contamination, which means gradually he will attain complete anartha nivritti. Very soon he becomes a righteous person and becomes completely devoid of contamination. Why? Because bhajate mam ananya bhak. Because he is worshipping me with no other desire other than the desire to please me. By that process, very quickly he will attain full righteousness. Therefore, O Kaunteya, O son of Kunti Arjuna, pratijanihi, you go and loudly declare, name bhaktaha pranashyati, that my devotee shall never perish. You go and declare, O Arjuna, I will ensure that he becomes purified. Okay. So, the Purva Paksha argument. So, the Purva Paksha argumentator is not going to give up. So, he presents the argument. He says, well, Krishna, how can you accept the worship of such a sinful person? How can you eat the food and drink offered by a heart which is contaminated with lust and anger? This person who is offering you food, his heart is contaminated with lust and anger. Are you going to accept his food? Huh? Are you serious about it? Krishna says, Krishna does not say, no, I am not going to accept. Krishna says, very quickly he becomes righteous. Shipram bhavati. He does not say bhavanti in future. He says bhavati in present tense, he says. The present tense is used and not the future tense to express the fact that having committed the sin by remembering the Lord, he becomes repentant and thus very quickly becomes righteous. Okay. Because The purification is fast. Therefore, he uses present tense, bhavati, rather than bhavanti, future tense. So he thinks, oh, how unfortunate I am. There is no one as low as I, bringing bad name to the devotees. He thinks, I am a fallen soul. See, my heart is infested with all this kind of lust, anger, greed, desire for name, fame, glorification. I am such a fallen person. I am a black spot amongst the devotees. He thinks like that. Shashwat repeatedly, he feels completely disgust for those actions. Shashwat shantim nigachati. He feels disgusted. He's not very happy. Today I enjoyed so nicely. So he does not feel proud of all those things. He is actually disgusted. Or the use of the present tense can indicate that in the future he will develop righteousness fully, but even right now it exists in a subtle form. In future he will become completely righteous, but even right now the righteousness exists in a subtle form. What is that subtle form? Can someone share your thoughts? What is that subtle form of righteousness? How does it exist in that subtle form? Would anyone like to share your thoughts? Yes, repentance. He knows it is wrong. He knows he wishes to give it up. Okay. Even though he is unable to give it up right now, but he wishes to give it up. That is the subtle form. Or in the form of guilt, in the form of repentance. So while engaged in unfavorable activity, at that time also righteousness is there in these forms. Guilt, repentance, you know, desire to give it up. This is actually there. So, he says, after taking medicine, even though the destructive effects of fever or poison remains for some time, it is not considered seriously. Right? Like someone says, goes to a doctor, let's say Shyamlal Prabhu, someone goes to Shyamlal Prabhu and I say, Prabhuji, I think I have fever, I am having some feverish symptoms. So Prabhuji takes a thermometer, puts the thermometer in my mouth and checks, oh yes, it is 103 fever. What should I do? Let's say incidentally he has some crocin with him. Okay, generally he would write a prescription, but let's say he has crocin with him and he says, you take this, eat it, you'll be all right. He said, oh really? Okay. So I pop that crocin in my mouth, drink some water, gulp that crocin, and I said, Prabhuji, can you please put the thermometer in my mouth? Prabhuji says, okay. And he puts. And he says, Prabhuji, how much? 103. And I ask him, Prabhuji, but you said if I eat this crocin, the fever will be gone. It still says 103. So Prabhuji says, wait, you have just popped that medicine in your mouth. Wait for another half an hour, 1 hour, and then you check. When the effect of that paracetamol, it starts working on your body, it will subdue that fever. So similarly, just like after taking medicine, even though the destructive effects of fever or poison remains for some time, it is not considered seriously. And the same is the example of ceiling fan that Prabhupada gives. After you switch off the fan, still, due to the inertia of motion, the fan keeps rotating for a while, but it is not taken seriously. Thus, with the entrance of bhakti in his mind, the sinful actions are not taken seriously because bhakti acts as the medicine. Cheto darpana marjanam. and the traces of sin, such as lust and anger, should be considered insignificant, like the biting of a toothless snake. So here, biting of a toothless snake means it does not generate karmic reactions. That's what it means. Thus, he attains complete cessation of lust and anger permanently, gradually. This happens gradually. In Nigacchati, Ni stands for Nitaram, completely. Nitaram Gacchati, Shashvat Shantim Nitaram Gacchati. He attains complete cessation of lust and anger permanently. This means that even during the stage of having tendency to commit sin, he has a pure heart. Read this line again. This means that even during the stage of having tendency to commit sin, he has a pure heart. Can someone explain how is this possible? How can, while having the tendency to commit sin, someone can have a pure heart? What does it mean? Vrajarade Mataji says, pure faith. Any other answer? Can someone give a reasonable explanation for this? How can someone have a pure heart even during the stage of having the tendency to commit sin? Yes, pure faith, purity of aspiration. What else? What else? Please explain. How is this possible? I want others also to try. Please try. Yes, there is guilt. Yeah. While he has his weakness, there is repentance. He knows this is wrong. Okay. That understanding that this is an inappropriate action, this is what is called as unwilling. Unwillingly succumbing to the conditioning. Unwillingly succumbing to the conditioning. So that unwillingness indicates his pure heart. Succumbing indicates his impure conditioning. Unwillingness indicates his pure faith. Right? Like that. But then the Puropaksha argumentator says, well, okay, as you said, if he eventually becomes righteous, then there is no problem. But if a devotee is sinful right up to his death, what is his position? You say Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma, he will eventually become righteous. But if your devotee does not become righteous till death, what is his position? Then what do you have to say, Krishna? Then what do you have to say? So then Krishna responds. He speaks his heart out. Krishna says, the Lord, affectionate to his devotees, then speaks loudly with a little anger. Krishna says, O son of Kunti, my devotee is not destroyed. At the time of death, he does not fall. Even though there may be symptoms of impurity, he will not take another birth due to his karma. I will ensure he gets a birth which will facilitate his progress in devotional service from where he left off. He will not get a birth which is impelled by his karma. That is the meaning of Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Means, I will not let my devotee fall into the clutches of karma. That is the meaning. Krishna then encourages the worried, lamenting Arjuna. He says, O Kaunteya, going to the squabbling assembly with a tumultuous sound of drums, throwing your hands in the air, you should fearlessly declare this. Arjuna says, declare what? He said, declare that my devotee, the devotee of the Supreme Lord, even though committing sin, does not perish but rather reaches success. Of course, not due to committing sin, but due to genuine repentance. Arguments defeated, pride deflated, they should undoubtedly respect you as a guru. You become their guru and you teach them, because they will trust you, they will not trust me. You go and tell them that my devotee shall never perish. This is Sridhar Swami's explanation. But then someone may say, but why does the Lord order Arjuna to declare this when he could do it himself? Arjuna may ask, "Are why you are asking me to declare? You yourself go and declare, no? You are the Supreme Lord. I am just your devotee. Why can't you yourself go and declare?" So as he will say later, "Mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosimi." I declare to you that you will truly come to me. You are very dear to me. You have, you know, in future there will be places where Krishna himself will declare. He will not say, "Arjuna, you go and declare." But now why you are telling me to go and declare? Why can't you declare it yourself? So in the same way, why does he not now say, "I declare, Kaunteya, that my devotee does not perish"? Why does he not say that? So the reason is explained here. The Lord considered as follows. Krishna was thinking to himself. Krishna thought, being affectionate to my devotee and not tolerating even a slight degradation of my devotee, I will under all circumstances uphold the declaration made by my devotee. Whereas I can break my own promise and accept criticism of myself, just as in breaking my own promise in fighting with Bhishma Dev, I fulfilled Bhishma's promise. Thus, hearing a declaration from my mouth, the materialistic disputers will laugh, but they will accept Arjuna's declaration as if written on stone. Because in order to protect the promise of my devotee, I will do anything. But if I myself give a promise, I may not keep it up. I promise that I will not pick up a weapon. But because Bhishma Dev told, I will make Krishna pick up a weapon. So if I have to sacrifice one vow between my vow and my devotee's vow, I will sacrifice my vow. And I will uphold my devotee's vow. Of course, Krishna, without sacrificing the devotee's vow or his own vow, he can accomplish it. But there is no fun. Krishna wants to show that I consider my devotee greater than myself. How can he show that? By sacrificing his own vow. Let people criticize me. But I am attached to my devotees. So, Krishna wants to show that I consider the devotee greater than my own prestige. I will put my prestige at stake to show that I love my devotees. Okay. Arjuna said, you know, by the end of today, if I don't kill this Jayadrath, I will kill myself. And that's it. By sunset, sun was setting. So Arjuna, Krishna had to orchestrate everything so that Arjuna could kill Jayadrath. So everyone knows that how much Krishna is dedicated to fulfilling the declarations of his devotees. So when Krishna wants to make the most important declaration, just so that people don't take it lightly, he says, "Arjuna, you go and declare." Because the devotees know that to fulfill the declaration of my devotee, I will go to any extent. So you go and declare. They will take it much more seriously. This is what Krishna was thinking. Therefore, I will have Arjuna make the declaration. And thus, One should not accept the statements of the falsely intelligent persons who, after hearing about Ananya Bhakti, even of the greatest sinner, think that this declaration made by the pure devotee cannot apply in the cases where attachment to wife and children, sinful acts, lamentation, illusion, lust, anger, and other despicable qualities manifest. Okay. Please read this statement and please explain it. I want one of you to please raise your hands and explain the statement. What is your understanding of this particular statement? I will read the statement again for you. Okay. And thus, one should not accept the statements of the falsely intelligent persons who, after hearing about Ananya Bhakti, even of the greatest sinner, which was the previous verse, Api Chet Suduracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhakti. So one should not accept the statements of the falsely intelligent person who, after hearing about Ananya Bhakti, even of the greatest sinner, think that this declaration, which Krishna has made in this verse, Kaunte Pratijanehi Name Bhakta Pranashyati, made by the pure devotee, cannot apply in cases where attachment to wife and children, sinful acts, lamentation, illusion, lust, anger, and other despicable qualities manifest. Okay. Would anyone like to share your understanding of this statement? Can you please elaborate and explain this statement which Krishna has made here? Yes, Shiva Kumar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, that our prams. So Prabhu, my understanding is Krishna's promise of saving the devotee that they do not perish is not just applicable for pure devotees, but also applicable for devotees of any state of their consciousness or mind or their purity, that they will be saved irrespective of their condition. Prabhu.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. Thank you. Yes, this is what it means. So, therefore he says, oh Arjuna, you go and declare. So, this is a beautiful commentary. See how it starts. Someone asks, Krishna, will you accept the offerings made by a person whose heart is infested with lust, anger, greed, desire for name, fame, glorification, etc. Will you accept? Krishna does not say no. Krishna says, oh, he will quickly become righteous. Don't worry about it. Same thing, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, even before he went to 26 Second Avenue, even before that, when he would be at Dr. Mishra's place, Dr. Mishra was a very sophisticated, actually he was a guru in the Mayavadi order. Thorough vegetarian, pakka practices, but Prabhupada, he would cook for him, but he would not accept what he cooked. No. But his own disciples, they were not even disciples. You can say students who were practically hippies, some of whom had all kinds of, who were still having some bad habits. They had still not given up. Prabhupada accepted their cooking. He honored it. But he would not accept Dr. Mishra's cooking. Even though Dr. Mishra was a yoga guru. He was no ordinary person. He was a yoga guru. So, now why? Why? Can someone share your thoughts? Why? Because his faith was not pure. Because he was not even trying to please Krishna. He was not convinced of pleasing Krishna. Others, they were trying to please Krishna, but they were unable. In trying to please Krishna, thoughts of lust, anger, envy, everything was creeping. But still there was some desire to please Krishna. But his disciples, even though they were contaminated with lust, anger, addictions, many of his disciples were still addicted. Prabhupada would eat what they cooked. Prabhupada would offer what they cooked. But he would never eat what Mishra, Dr. Mishra, yoga guru, vegetarian, Indian. He would not eat. He would cook for him. This is following in Krishna's parampara. This is what Krishna is telling here. Someone asks, how can you accept the worship of such a simple person? Will you accept the food and drink offered by a heart which is contaminated with lust and anger? Krishna does not say no. Krishna says, oh, very quickly he becomes righteous. Like that. So this is very interesting. So this is Krishna's promise. You take up to bhakti, it is my responsibility. As Srila Prabhupada writes in his Nectar of Instruction, that a devotee shall be forcefully dragged to success. Of course, that does not mean a devotee does not put any effort at all from his side. But nevertheless, Krishna's investment in this, he is a bigger stakeholder. So, Krishna's investment in this is very high compared to the devotee's investment. Krishna takes this very seriously. Krishna really wants to pull this person to success. This is Krishna's promise. Unless we indicate to Krishna that, Krishna, I have absolutely no interest to come to your lotus feet by committing offenses, then Krishna takes responsibility. This is Krishna's promise. So, once, I think I have shared this, some of you might have heard this before. Once in Swargaloka, you know, Narada Muni, Yamaraj, and I think Lord Shiva, some of them, they were sitting and they were having a conversation. Okay. This was the dream of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw this in his dream. So what was the dream? In the dream, they saw that Yamaraj, Narada Muni and I think Lord Shiva, they were sitting and having a conversation. What was the discussion about? The discussion was about Bhagavad Gita 9.31. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunte pratijanihi name bhakta punashyati. So the question was, here Krishna says he becomes righteous. He becomes a dharmatma. So now the question is, they ask, how does he say he becomes a dharmatma when in the beginning only Krishna says pratyakshavagamam dharmyam? In the very second verse he says bhakti is dharmyam. If bhakti is dharmyam, it is parodharma, then how can Krishna say shipram bhavati dharmatma? He becomes righteous. Is he not already dharmic? So, how do you understand this? So, they were discussing and they thought, they said, one of them said, you know what, only a Vaishnava can answer this question. So then, where do we find a Vaishnava? And they saw, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was walking there, with all the 12 tilaks shining in his body. They saw him. Oh, there is a Vaishnava. Just let's invite him. So they invited Bhaktivinoda Thakur and they said, oh, dear Vaishnava Thakur, can you please resolve our doubt? We have this doubt. Krishna says here, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. The devotee shall become Dharmatma. But in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one who practices bhakti is already practicing dharma. He is already a Dharmatma. So does he become a Dharmatma? Or is he already a Dharmatma? Why is Krishna speaking like this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, oh, he said, let us read these two verses again. So he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, look, what does Krishna say in 9.30? Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. Sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. He says, if a person worships me with pure devotion, having no other desire but the desire to please me, even though he may have all kinds of sinful inclinations, still I consider him as a devotee. This is what Krishna says. And in the next verse, what does he say? Shipram bhavati dharmatma. Very quickly he becomes dharmatma. Who? One who refuses to judge a devotee because of his conditionings. One who refuses to judge a devotee because of his conditionings and accepts him as a devotee because he worships Krishna. Okay? Krishna says, that person, he becomes a dharmatma very soon. So he is not talking about a devotee. He is talking about a person who refuses to judge a devotee, even though he may have conditionings, but he refuses to judge him. And he sees, oh, he is worshipping Krishna. He is a devotee. So he says, one who refuses to judge Krishna, on the strength of his refusal to judge Krishna, Krishna says, I will ensure he becomes a Dharmatma very soon. And then Narada Muni and Yamaraj and Lord Shiva, they became very pleased with this explanation. Like that. So this is another perspective given by our acharyas. So not only, but of course, this is not the understanding which the other acharyas give. The other acharyas give, Dharmatma here refers to the traces of sinful inclinations seen in that person. Those anarthas go away. Shipram bhavati dharmatma means very soon he attains anartha nivritti. That's what it means. But this is another understanding. Like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add based on this particular verse that we have discussed? Okay. There are some questions in the chat box already. We will take that. In the meantime, others can either raise your hands, type your questions, whatever you feel comfortable. Okay. If we try to follow in Krishna's parampara in this material world, in the devotee's circle, then we may do some injustice in uplifting his consciousness by neglecting his or her conditionings every time. No one is telling that to that we say that, oh, you have an inclination to smoke, no problem. We are not saying that. What we are telling is, we trust on the efficacy of bhakti and we try to help that person. Of course, in an institutional setup, while we do accept, Krishna says he is a devotee, but that devotee may not necessarily have need to be given a managerial role, because it may affect the faith of other people. But not that we refuse to accept him as a devotee. Definitely he is a devotee, a struggling devotee. But there can be very fixed rules as to standards for those who may have some leadership positions. He may not be a leader devotee, but he is still a devotee. So therefore, but otherwise, I see it the other way. If people are suffering due to conditionings, and if they are not gently encouraged, okay, and if they are shot down, criticized, judged, then other people or many other people who have similar conditionings or other types of conditionings, they will hide it. And that sort of benign conditioning of lust, anger, etc., or comparatively benign conditions of lust, anger, etc., will turn into more insidious conditionings like hypocrisy, duplicity. Why? Because they want some encouragement to gradually improve, but what they meet with is severe judgmentalism. So what will happen? They will hide their conditionings and become duplicitous, hypocritical, like that. So therefore, yes, we are not telling that we can have very clear-cut standards for leadership positions because they have to lead the people. So if someone does not live up to those standards, we say, yes, Prabhu, I am really sorry, because you don't meet the standards of being a leader devotee, but we do accept you as a devotee and you can take your time to work on your conditionings. There is no problem with that. So no one is encouraging anyone to live the life they want, but there is a way of encouraging. Yes, Prabhuji, Prabhuji, you can get over it. We are with you. So you are not in this struggle alone. We are there. Together, we will try to overcome this. So no one is telling, Prabhuji, don't worry, keep smoking as much as you want. No one is going to encourage devotees like that. The encouragement is, yes, Prabhu, we are there with you. We will fight it together. That is the kind of encouragement we are talking about. We are not talking about, Are Prabhuji, keep smoking, yeah, no problem, no one, nothing, bhakti will take care. No, we are not telling like that. That kind of encouragement we are not going to give. A favorable encouragement, a healthy encouragement, that they feel inspired to overcome their afflictions. They feel hopeful that I can overcome my anarthas. In that way we encourage. Not that they feel to have anarthas is completely all right. Not in that way. Encouragement comes in the way where they feel, yes, I can also overcome my anarthas. That kind of hope. That is the kind of encouragement. Yes, Mother Gail.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This verse 931, where the acharyas interpret it as,
explain it.
The person.
They explain it.
Yeah, okay, they explain it.
Yeah,
as I'm not sure the difference actually.
I mean, interpret kind of has you can say
like a mental kind of, speculation.
Yeah. Here, this is their revelation, actually. This is,
yeah. So I'm having trouble with the fact that, you know, just grammatically, right? Mm-hmm. It seems to so very much contradict their explanation, because grammatically, the pronoun he, right, mm-hmm. refers to the he of the previous verse. But according to, is it Bhaktivinoda Thakur's
Yeah.
explanation?
Yes.
Yeah, according to his explanation, now we are talking about a completely different person, right? We're talking about somebody who would judge the devotee instead of the Sudaracharya devotee. So I'm trying to
Yeah,
reconcile
according
how.
to linguistically, how would you connect? I am not an expert in Sanskrit to explain it, but definitely, there is a reasonable way of explaining it that way. How exactly he does it, how does he connect the, how does he, how would such an explanation kind of, make linguistic sense also. I am not an expert to comment on that because ultimately the explanations are in a different language. So I cannot explain that how exactly right now. Maybe if I read it a little bit more carefully, I think in his in one of his own commentaries, he has given this explanation also. So, but I have not personally read it, but I can read it and see how exactly it. So, of course, to explain it exactly, I will have to exactly know the language, but I don't know the language, so I cannot give the linguistic explanation. But still.
Because just if we're trying to explain this sorry, if we're trying to explain this point to somebody, right, just by the English translation alone, then Bhaktivinoda's explanation won't make any sense to anybody, based on English alone. Because, it looks like, according to the translation, it looks like we're only talking about the Sudaracharya person only.
Yeah, it may
You won't be
see
able
that
to
is why
convince based on the English alone, you won't be able to convince anybody of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation.
Well, this is where so here we have to convince whom? We have to convince whom? The
Well, I
we
know
have
your point is probably saying that we have to have our faith in the acharyas, right? I think that's what you're driving at. No?
I mean,
Because
not blind faith, not blind faith.
if we have faith in our acharyas, then, whatever they say, whatever explanation they give, we will just, actually blindly accept.
No, I never said
Because it's
that,
our
right?
acharyas. Is our faith in our acharyas, doesn't that mean blind acceptance in whatever explanations they give?
Well, I would say a qualified yes. That does not mean we need not seek clarifications. Like you are seeking clarification, which is reasonable. But there is a difference in which believers and non-believers seek clarification. There is a difference in the way they present their doubts, the way they seek the clarification, there's a difference in language
Yeah, the
between.
difference I understand is that the believers will accept what the Acharya say is true, but try to get clarification as to
Understand
how it is true.
how it is true.
Whereas the non-believers, they don't accept initially, and they're,
Yeah.
is a
They say,
question
no, it doesn't make any sense. Come on.
mark.
So and then you will have to get into the then you have to get into the linguistics and other such things and explain to them, look, if you look at the language, the way exactly the sentence is structured in Sanskrit, even you can't rule out this reading, this meaning, you can't rule out this meaning. So it is possible, but unfortunately, my knowledge of Sanskrit is very rudimentary or almost non-existent. So I cannot comment on this. How exactly? So this particular translation of this particular verse may not give a reasonable explanation, right? But there could be alternate explanations which one can give for the same verse, which is linguistically approved. But because we have a standard explanation of Apicheta Sudaracharo and the next verse, therefore we are struggling to connect the two. How could Krishna, having spoken in this particular way, in the next verse, he seems to speak about the other person who is judging. How did he get into the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm telling. If there could be other ways of explaining the same verse, which could naturally, explain the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained it, but just that I am not capable of, explaining it that way. Maybe if I read Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on this and see how he explains it this way, maybe I can explain. But right now, I am not capable of doing it. But having
also,
said that, I trust that there must be a way in which this explanation should be right.
Okay, so
I'm not blindly believing. I just trust there is an explanation to this.
Yeah, well, we are blindly accepting. We want clarification, but we are blindly accepting, no? Because it's coming from our acharyas.
But isn't that blind acceptance based on our past experience of trust?
No, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that that's what we're doing. I'm not criticizing.
No, I know. Yeah, correct. In that sense, so this blind acceptance is like the blind acceptance of a son who receives a glass of milk from his mother and is not doubting if there is any poison in it or not.
Yes, like that. That's what
yeah,
I mean.
Like that. Yeah, correct, correct, correct.
Oh, okay. So, Prabhu, if I'm understanding you properly, if we had a different translation, because, the English that we've received, right, for these two verses, it implies one kind of explanation. But if the Sanskrit had been translated in a different way, then we would have been more easily able to understand Bhaktivinoda's explanation. It would have seemed more transparent.
I'm not able to explain the nuances. The generic understanding, what he is trying to convey, I am able to understand, but the exact nuances as how he kind of takes it to explaining the person who refuses to judge, how the connection he makes, that connection, I could not immediately understand, but maybe if I look at his commentary, I'll be able to understand.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yes, Shiva Kumar.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. On this sloka, when the Lord says he quickly becomes righteous, I'm just trying to understand, Prabhu, there is this conditioning, there is this my free will, and there is also this Krishna's will. So I don't know if I'm right, but I kind of see that my free will, the free will and conditioning is like related to each other. There is some overlap. So there is only so much of capacity for me to exercise my free will also in a right way, that I am fully properly surrendered to Krishna. So my question is, Prabhu, do Krishna at some point indulge in the free will itself of the devotee to kind of force him the wellness or to bring him on the righteous path itself, Prabhu.
What do you mean by forcing free will?
As in forcing, as in he kind of puts into a situation where the
like
devotee.
You don't want to rectify yourself, but Krishna makes you want to rectify
forces
yourself.
The devotee, yeah.
But if the devotee does not want to rectify himself, why would Krishna? Is he convinced or is he unconvinced of rectification or is he incapable of rectifying?
Incapable, Prabhu. I am convinced of rectification, but my capacity is not there.
Then your free will is to change, right? You are unable to exercise it properly.
That's where I am saying, Prabhu.
Your question is, will he give you more strength to exercise your free will rather than interfere in your free will and change your free will? Your free will is to change, but you're incapable of doing it due to your conditioning. Why should Krishna change your free will? He just have to give you more strength to exercise your free will. That's all. So that's your question. Yeah, Krishna will do it.
Okay.
But he will do it in his own ways. Because Krishna might teach you even much more valuable lessons in allowing you to struggle and come up. He might have his own plans. Sometimes he might allow you to struggle. Sometimes he might allow you to struggle royally. Because he has his own plans. Through that, he is trying to orchestrate one's progress. He could do that. So Krishna's plans are his plans. Help may not come the way we want. Because Krishna may have a better way of helping us. Like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, we still have some time. Let's see if we can cover one more verse. Okay. Shiva Kumar Prabhu has raised his hands again. Yes.
Prabhu, sorry, just one follow up, Prabhu, from your last discussion. The example that you gave, the son getting the milk from the mother, that's very grave example, Prabhu. I think I will need more time to even digest that example. Can you share any reference, Prabhu, towards that example as to is that from any commentary or something or any?
No, that is no commentary. That is Balram Shakti Das commentary only. I mean, I'm just telling. It may not be applicable to some people. Sometimes I do use some examples of mother and son, and I've had people say that, Prabhuji, I can't relate with this example because their experience
of,
relationship has been different.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I will have to change the example. But generally, this is a more commonly accepted example, but no material example, you know, everything will fall apart, you know, because not everyone's experience. In the Kali Yuga, everything is kind of compromised and adulterated. Oftentimes, you do see, you know, own mother killing son and those kind of all kinds of perverted things happening in the world. So, you know, no example in one sense is pure enough to use, but sometimes I take the statistical approach. Statistically, there is a good chance that people might accept this example, even though everything there is compromise.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Like if you remember, in early days, people used to say, are you sure this is pure? You'll say, Agmark pure, they will say. Agmark pure. But nowadays, that Agmark pure has no value. That Agmark pure has no value, actually. Because even there is so much adulteration that, you know, are ISO certified. In today's day and age, that ISO certified has no meaning. Like that.
True. Yeah, but that example was shaking, Prabhu, when I heard that. So I just wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, true. I agree. That's why I said I took the statistical approach.
Thank you.
Yes, Keshav Premaji.
Yeah, I typed the question, somehow you missed it, I think. Like, sometimes the guilt feeling, even a non-devotee, they do something wrong, no, Prabhuji, they will also have guilt feeling. They also want to change. So the guilt feeling alone, is it defining our pure devotional faith, Prabhuji?
Guilt driven by the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra.
Oh, that is just by mind's guilt they are feeling. Is it Prabhuji? Mind's guidance.
Their guilt is, oh, I, their guilt is, you know, I succumb to a lower sense gratification while compromising a bigger sense gratification. Okay. So, the person sat and watched the whole night cricket and next day for his exam, he was not prepared and he felt very guilty. Why did I do this, man? So, why is he guilty? Because after the exam, when the mark comes, he will have to face his parents, you know, they will be shouting at him and all that. So, that is the kind of guilt. So, the material world also, I took a very extreme example. Like, say, for example, someone, you know, ate some junk food. And then the next day, they feel very guilty. Why did I eat this junk food? Now you see, I will have to do extra workout and, you know, then burn my fat and all those things, you know, that kind of guilt they may have. So, the same thing, you know, in the material world, when materialists have that kind of guilt and repentance, it is guilt for engaging, it's always guilt for engaging in some low-grade sense gratification, which would compromise their high-grade sense gratification.
Correct, correct, correct.
That's all. So that kind of, we are not talking about that kind of guilt. We are talking about guilt which is born out of a value system which comes from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra.
And another thing, Prabhuji, like Abhichetsu Duracharo, we are discussing, Prabhuji, like someone who has got some sinful tendency, we talk about that, Prabhuji, but someone, Rananya Bhak, that word is used there now, Prabhuji, so someone is exclusively, they are determined to worship Krishna, so that will itself come. That will not come that easily, no, Prabhuji. We see many shlokas in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it's quoted that Prabhupada often writes, someone takes up that Krishna consciousness is itself, they would have done many cleansing in previous lifetime, they would have done all the yajnas, then only they can take Krishna consciousness. So, a devotee with pure...
That's not what it means.
Okay, Prabhuji.
They would have already done that yajna and all, means that having taken up to bhakti, they don't have to perform all of that.
Yeah, Prabhuji, that they have the benefits of all that, like all those yajnas are done for cleansing. So that cleansing is here. That's what it means, no, Prabhuji.
Yeah,
yes, Prabhuji. So if someone is Ananya Bhag, so only focusing on Krishna means definitely, then he must be situated, I mean, he will be purely taken care by, all his anarthas will be taken care by Krishna alone. That is the point, no, Prabhuji, in that Abhichet Sundaracharya.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so, if you take... if you take shelter of little karma and little jnana, then Krishna will not give full shelter.
So we are missing this point, Prabhuji. Like I'm just practically, I'm telling among devotees, as your instructions are so clear, that is why I got so attracted
Acharya's
by this
instructions.
No, yes, Prabhuji, but your explanation of Acharya. All of us are reading Acharya's instruction, Prabhuji, but somehow in ISKCON, we are understanding it differently, and I could see devotees commenting on someone doing sinful activities, Prabhuji, but devotees are doing even karma jnana without any sinful, I mean, they are not feeling bad for doing that, Prabhuji. That has been done by devotees very graciously, but this is somehow I feel we missed this point, Prabhuji. It's only a slight misunderstanding of Acharya's purpose. And your explanations is helping us to understand things in a very clear and deep manner, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. It really helps us in practical devotional service. Very much it is helping, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So how much time do we have? We have another 4 minutes. I thought we could take one more verse, but I think we will have to wait till next week, because in 4 minutes, I can't just rush. So... Rather, you could use that 4 extra minutes to have some extra rest so that you can wake up early. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next week. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.